Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, what a show and what a guest we have for you straight out of the gate this morning. Cork man Cillian Murphy won the Oscar for Oppenheimer and has been lauded for his performances in countless movies. But his newest film, Steve, might be his most gripping yet. Set in a reform school in the 90s, it depicts a struggling teacher and his students. The movie, which deals with complex themes of mental illness and creaking public care systems, unfolds over 24 hours, capturing the challenges headmaster Steve faces in maintaining order while grappling with his own mental health issues. Cillian produces and stars in the film in the role of Steve. Have a listen.
So they're asking everyone to describe themselves in three words.
Okay. Very, very tired.
Focused.
Cheeky. Angry and bored.
Cillian Murphy, good morning.
Morning, Dermot. How are you?
I'm good. I've just got to check off the bat. Like, you're not here because you're Mary Lou's presidential game changer, are you?
I can confirm I'm not running for the presidency and I'm not playing Voldemort.
Oh, that's disappointing to hear. But sure, look, we'll crack on anyway. But look, it is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant film, Steve. I know you're very proud of it. I know you've lots of teachers in your family, actually, your mum, dad, grandfather, aunts, uncles. How did they react to the movie? Do they approve?
My mum and dad haven't seen it yet, so I hope they will. It was very present in my life growing up, for sure. But you know that thing when you're growing up, you kind of feel when you're in school that the teacher's lives end at, you know, 3:30, and you just don't think about what happens afterwards. And then when you're at home, they're just your parents, and they come home, they look after you. And it's only as I've gotten older, I've kind of really realized what a massive job it is and how vocational it is and what a calling it is and how both my parents took it deadly seriously and then came home and looked after four of us. And it's an awful lot of work, you know, to do it well.
Yeah. So I guess they finally will get a sense that you have an appreciation for all the stuff they had to put up with
finally,
in school
yeah.
and at home.
Yeah. 40 years later. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you like in school yourself?
I think I was all right. I was a bit of a messer, you know, a bit annoying, but yeah, just fine, but annoying.
Was there a Steve in your own life? Was there a teacher that kind of guided you to where you are today?
I had an excellent English teacher, yeah, in secondary school who really unlocked theatre and literature and poetry and performance for me. Bill Wall is his name, and he's a brilliant novelist himself. And it was very important for me. And, you know, we've been talking about this film for a while. And when you go around and ask people, if you're lucky, nearly everyone has at least one teacher that made that connection with them. And it's different. They, you know, it's different to your parents. They're sort of a mentor type role that you need outside of the family. I think everyone is very lucky if they have one of those teachers in their lives.
Yeah, it's kind of like just someone who gives you permission to be yourself. As you say,
exactly.
Outside of your family, it's really important. I remember somebody, I had a teacher, John Kennedy, who gave me a video camera and off I went to make sketches around the school, pretending I was doing work. But these names stick with you, that's for sure. I know that director Tim Meelands, who you worked with on Peaky Blinders and Small Things Like These, he has also said he struggled with dyslexia and he found comfort in certain teachers too. So I guess it was personal to both of you, really, wasn't it, the story?
Well, yeah, and that's why it's universal. You know, the film is a love letter, really, to teachers and to people working in the care sector, I think. And it's been amazing the responses we've had from people who have seen the film and have come up and spoken to us about it, because really they are the custodians of the next generation, these people. We hand over our children to them and expect them to prepare them, you know, to take over the roles that we all have now in society. So it's massive. And in this school, it's even more challenging for these kids because they're excluded from mainstream education. They're really struggling emotionally, a lot of them. And so it's even more pressure these teachers are under.
Yeah. Look, let's get into your portrayal of Steve himself, because it's just incredible. I can't tell you how much I love the film. I got to sit down with my teenage son and watch it, and both of us, it's an emotional movie, and both of us were sitting there at the end, sort of sitting in silence, each one knowing that the other one was crying. but bravely being men and saying, that's very, very dusty in here altogether. Yeah, great film, great film. But look, your portrayal of Steve is amazing. In many ways, I think he's a departure, and I wonder how you feel, from some of the more recent characters that you've been doing, where the intensity stays more simmering under the surface, say with the likes of Tommy Shelby or J. Robert Oppenheimer, who are generally at pains to keep their inner world under wraps. Whereas Steve tends to wear his heart and his stress on his sleeve a bit more. He's a little bit more explosive, maybe, and outward in his mannerisms. Is that true? And was that something that maybe attracted you to playing the part?
Yes, I was very lucky that Max Porter, who's a friend of mine, and I've also worked with, this is the third time we've worked together, so we really trust each other. And it's, you know, it's an adaptation of his novel. And the teacher doesn't really appear in the novel, so he kind of created him from the ground up, and he wrote it bespoke for me, more or less. So it was a new way of approaching, because a lot of the time I just lock myself away for months and I'm just building this character, whereas this was kind of ready-made, didn't have to change my accent, you know. So we went into it, we shot the whole thing chronologically, so which means you're experiencing the events as the characters do, you're accumulating the emotional information as the characters do. So that makes for a very kind of raw experience making the film. So it was kind of like jumping out of a helicopter, you know, and just being kind of buffeted by what was happening in the scene at the time. But I had Tim Meelands, as you say, who I adore working with. And then Max wrote it for me. And then Jay Lycargo, who plays Shy in the film, is a wonderful, wonderful young actor.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience. Yeah, very raw, very kind of exposing, but very rewarding.
Well, let's have a listen to your character, Steve, talking to Shy. They meet on a stairwell, and Steve realizes there's something up.
I think we've always been honest with each other. I can tell there's something up with you, and all I want for you to do is to just use us. You know, use the people here that care for you. Speak to us. Just me or Amanda or even the lads. Whoever. Because you're not alone, Shy. That's the whole point.
Yeah, there's some really, really powerful scenes. You mentioned the Irish accent. Was that just to make... Did it necessarily have to be the character, or is it just one less thing for you to think about if you're doing it in your own accent?
I think so. And it just brings... It just makes it more authentic, really. Yeah, and you're just kind of... There's less layers and less of a veil, I suppose, between you and the character, which is... It's kind of scary, but also... Great. I mean, I hadn't done it in ages and ages, so it was nice. And you know, there are so many teachers and social workers working in the UK, and definitely back in the 90s there were.
Yeah, you mentioned there J. Lycurgo, who's absolutely brilliant as Shy. The other supporting cast is really wonderful. Tracy Ullman as staff deputy Amanda is really, really good. Therapist Jenny is played by Emily Watson, who people remember as the unsettling Sister Mary in your recent film Small Things Like These. Lil Sims as teacher Shola is great. And of course, as we say, playing the character of Shy, around whom the original book centres, is Jay Lycurgo. Tell us about Jay and how you find these young actors, because obviously they are at the centre of the film and a lot of the pressure hangs on them.
Yeah, we did a very extensive casting. We saw 3,500 kids in the UK, you know, on tape. And we went to youth centres and boxing clubs and then just began to narrow it down. But it was very, very clear when we saw Jay. He was just magnetic. And I think Steve says in the film, he describes Shy as having this generous pain, which is a beautiful poetic way of talking about someone. But he kind of had that thing where you just really were compelled by him, you know, and you could feel all this that adolescent trauma kind of underneath his surface when you just put a camera on him, and you can't really learn that. You can hone it, but he has it. He's magnetic.
Mm. I find the time that it's set in the 90s really interesting, actually, because, you know, it's hard to look at the themes of this film without finding links to the likes of Adolescence, which has proven to be a really successful show. But so much of the discourse these days around mental health of young people in particular centres around technology, but for obvious reasons, yeah. You know, for obvious reasons. But Steve is set in 1996 in a world before smartphones and social media. Before the world we see in the likes of Adolescence. So what do you think a 90s setting offers you from a point of storytelling and looking at these themes in the film?
Well, I think Max was keen to demonstrate that the problems that these kids have are perennial. They existed in the 90s, they existed in the 60s, you know, they exist now, but clearly this technology has exacerbated it all. This hyperconnectivity has just magnified it all. But we wanted to show that you still need human connection. You still need care to reach these kids, and there's nothing will match that. You know, and these sorts of institutions are, and the work that these teachers do are still just as vital and just as important, and will remain so. I think Adolescence was a magnificent achievement, a magnificent kind of generational piece of television. But I really think it's important to show that it's always human contact, human connection that makes the difference.
Yeah. You had the European premiere of the movie in Cork last weekend. What was it like to bring it home?
That was lovely. It was really... Yeah, it meant a great deal to me. We brought it down there as part of Sounds from a Safe Harbor, which is a festival that takes place in Cork every 2 years, and Mary Hickson is the real beating heart of that festival. Mm-hmm. But it was great. We screened it in like six screens, and there was a lot of crying as well. but great response. And yeah. I hadn't brought a film to Cork since The Wind That Shakes the Barley, which was 20 years ago or something.
That's unreal. I can't believe that much time has passed. And when you say people were crying, is that the audience, are you, are both?
The audience. Okay. The audience, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, it's okay to be emotional, bringing a big movie to your hometown. That's all right, too. I know Max Porter, who we mentioned, who wrote the novella that you've worked with, that the film is based on, and wrote the screenplay for this film. He's also behind the Sounds from a Safe Harbor Festival as well, is he?
Yeah, he's one of the co-curators this year. Mm. Yeah, he's wonderful. So it's a festival, you know, that it's all about new work. It's all about collaboration. So there's a residency a week before the festival is open to the public, and all the artists make new work, and Max was running around writing lyrics and poems and monologues, and then they get performed over the city over the course of the festival.
Yeah, it was the score written by Ben Salisbury and Jeff Barrow was recorded here in Studio One in RTE.
I believe some of the strings were recorded, yeah, in RTE, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's very cool. I also heard that you donned a fairly elaborate mask made by the famous Billy McGlynn, who was actually a guest on the show last week, at the Pagan Rave. How was that?
That was amazing. That was the opening night of the festival, yeah.
Yeah, let's have a listen. Can we have a little clip of you in action here?
Oh. Am I the boar for boldness? Am I a salmon in the pool? Am I a god who fashions fire for a head? Am I the mask to be unmasked? Or am I the living and the dead calling for the dance?
You know, you can do all the big movies and the big TV shows that you want, but when I hear you doing something like that, I think that's Killian's happy place there.
Yeah, I went very Cork, didn't I?
Well, no better place to do it at a Pagan Rave in Cork.
Yeah, no, that was great fun. Great night.
Yeah. What was it like, you know, to be in the thick of all of that? I just love how many elements of your talents you like to bring to things, and all these wonderful collaborations that you like to get involved in. It's just really, there's a real richness to it or something.
Well, it's particularly lovely to be making that festival in Cork, because, you know, that's where it all started for me, with Kirkadurka and Disco Pigs and making music around the city. You know, it was a very vital time, and it was actually in 1996. So it's kind of weirdly serendipitous that this movie is off.
Well, speaking of music, you also played a DJ set at the Pavilion Bar on Saturday night to close the festival off. You've probably been to lots of gigs and maybe performed, you know, music yourself in the Pav over the years, have you?
Yeah, well, not for a long time. Yeah, kind of, yeah, a bit old for it now. But that was great fun. That was also great fun. Like, I'm anything music adjacent, I'm always keen to get involved in, you know, because I love it and it's what I wanted to do.
Were you actually DJing? Were you playing records, or were you doing that thing where you're just on your laptop pretending to mix live, but you're actually just sending emails? You're catching up on some admin in front of a crowd.
No, it wasn't. It definitely was not vinyl. I never was that good. But
yeah,
and it was about, you know, we had a great crowd and everyone was dancing. It was great fun. I DJed with my friend Shannon and Darrow, so it was lovely. You know, people in Cork love dancing, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I know you love music. You've had radio shows, obviously, on BBC Radio 6, which people really, really love. Are you going to be doing them again?
I'd love to get back in the radio. I'm kind of just trying to have a bit of a rest at the moment. But I would love to get back on it for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure Oliver will give you a seat in here any day if you fancy it. I know Kerry is very close to your heart too, which may cause your Cork passport to be revoked. I'm not sure how allowed that is, but I know yourself and your wife, Yvonne, bought the Phoenix Cinema there in Ondangan I Chúis, aka Dingle. Tell us about your connection to the Phoenix.
Well, I've been going down to that part of the world all my life. And, you know, my dad has been going down there all his life, and my mom. And so it's, you know, a very special part of the world for us. And the cinema was empty and for a number of years. And myself and Yvonne thought it would be lovely if we could bring it back, you know, for the community. There isn't a cinema on the peninsula. There isn't an art centre in Dingle. And it's got such a brilliant storied history, that cinema. I went there as a kid, you know, and so we're trying at the moment to bring it back as an arts hub for that peninsula and make it a multi-purpose venue, not just cinema, but also, you know, space for theatre or for dance or for music. So that's the ambition, to get it going again.
Yeah, I guess the locals must be delighted that something as important as that. They're important buildings, these things, in towns, aren't they? And to have a bit of life injected back into them, it feeds into a whole area, feeds into the people in there too.
Well, it's for the community. That's our, you know, that's our goal. That's what we're trying to do. And it's such a brilliantly culturally vital place in Dingle, as everybody knows. We've got great support so far. So it's a process, but we're definitely in it and we're moving forward as best we can.
Are you able to go for a pint these days? Is that something that's still something you can do? Can you go to a pub without the world landing in on top of you? Can you find a snug?
You can. Yeah, I know. People are sound. I think people are sound, and you can go and have a quiet pint with your pals for sure. I'd hate if that was taken away. But I think Irish people get it.
Yeah, but I think sometimes Irish people, we overcompensate as well. It's like, you know, Killian, I could see you're having a pint over there. I won't come near you. Killian, I won't come near you. You're like, okay. Yeah, I saw Killian. I didn't want to disturb him. So I got into a taxi and I drove to Kildare. I just didn't want to bother him. I emigrated to New Zealand. I just wanted to leave him alone to have his pint. Tommy Shelby isn't done with you yet, and a Peaky Blinders movie is on the way. There's rumours of early 26. Are we still looking at that, do you think, or can you say anything about it?
Yeah, the film is done. The film, we're working on it. I'm really happy with it. I'm really happy for I hope the fans will be really happy with it, because my impulse is very much to make it for the fans, because the show became the show because of the fans and because of people talking about it and, you know, dressing up and really just caring about the characters. So the script was wonderful, and it should be around sometime next year.
Yeah, it's exciting too. New cast in there. Dune's Rebecca Ferguson, who I'm a big fan of. Saltburn's Barry Keoghan is in there as well. Tim Roth and Jay Lycurgo, who we mentioned, who plays Shy in Steve.
That's right. Yeah, great cast. And I can't tell you anything else, Dermot.
go on. We make you a cup of tea. I mean, obviously you have the Oscar sitting somewhere in the house. I know some people like to keep it in the bathroom. I think Kate Winslet was famous for keeping hers in the jack so people could go in and take their selfie with the Oscar without having to annoy her. You know, where do you keep yours? And has anything really changed for you since?
I just keep it on a shelf. And no, things, I get asked this quite a bit now. And I think, if you look at Steve, which is in cinemas today, if you look at, that's the sort of work that I've always been drawn towards. And I think your tastes and the type of work you want to make are formed quite early on. And I've been doing this nearly 30 years now, alarmingly. And I think when something like Oppenheimer comes along, it's kind of overwhelming, and you're just full of gratitude that a film can connect like that. But you kind of just continue on the path that you were on originally, which is to try and make work like this.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned 30 years, kind of hard to believe. And I was wondering, when I was watching Steve and you interacting with all the young cast members who are kind of late teens, early 20s, what do you, you know, did it trigger something in you in terms of remembering those times when you were starting out, where you walked onto those big film sets for the first time, you know, and you know, did it allow you to create a special bond with those guys because you remember what it's like to be starting off?
Well, it definitely gave me a shot in the arm, you know, their energy and their passion for it, which I do remember, and the excitement of walking onto a film set with the lights and the crew, and it was lovely to see it through their eyes. And 96 was the year that I started making theatre with Disco Pigs. So yeah, when you do reflect on it, it's kind of mad to think that amount of time has elapsed.
Yeah. Well, look, we're delighted that you've been doing it so long and that you're still doing it. It's a fantastic film. Steve, starring Cillian Murphy, hits Irish cinemas tonight and lands on Netflix on October the 3rd. So no excuse not to be seeing it. Sorry, somebody's waving. Oh, there's a text in here. Sorry. A friend of mine got chatting to an older man as they were in the doctor's waiting room, it says. The man's phone kept ringing, but we were enjoying our chat about both being teachers and their love for it. Eventually, my friend said, "You'd better answer that." And the man said, "Ah, yes, it's just Radio na Gaeltacht. My son's been nominated for an Oscar." It was Killian's dad. they must be exceptionally proud of you.
I think they are. I think they are. And you know, after making this film, I'm exceptionally proud of them. You know, that's what happens, isn't it? As you get older.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of you too. Thanks so much for chatting to us today, Cillian. Really, really appreciate it. I know you're busy. I guess having a producer's hat on for these things makes you feel more inclined to do these kinds of interviews. So for that, we're you know, you can't go, "I don't feel like it." You're like, "Oh God, I'm the producer. I better go and do this and promote the bloody thing." We're delighted you did today.
Great to chat as always.
All right. See you, Cillian. Take it easy. Bye-bye. As we say, fantastic movie. Steve, starring Cillian Murphy, hits Irish cinemas tonight and lands on Netflix on October the 3rd. Thanks to Cillian Murphy for a chatting to us there a few minutes ago. Just a lovely, lovely. In fact, this text describes him perfectly. Cillian Murphy, what a cool and sound guy. You can tell he loves the work and talking about his craft. Makes you proud to be Irish. It certainly does. Anita says, tell Killian he'll always find a snug to himself in his Breakfast on Pluto old film home in Fenelly's in Callan. Oh, yes. What such a great movie. And sometimes that's a Killian movie that slips under the radar. So if you're hungry for looking at some more of Killian's movies and maybe you missed it, Breakfast on Pluto is such a classic. And one says, I think English teachers in particular seem to be the cohort that inspire students most as they encourage students to read challenging works as well as works society disapproves of. My English teacher in secondary school in Douglas Community School in Cork in the 80s, Peter O'Brien, remains the one teacher that I remember with the most fondness. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Five.